Don't be quick to receive just any advice that comes your way. Pastor Dave Rolfe says there's a need for discernment.
When there's advice, some of it just sounds right. Some of it just sounds wrong. Not sure why, but that's just kind of the way it feels. It's not foolproof. You're always going to get wrong advice. But keep walking. Don't stop there. Don't give up. Continue to move and look for advice that lines up with what God says. Look for advice that has worked well for you in the past. Decide to stay on the path. Don't fall into cynicism. Take his word and have fun with it. And ultimately, you're going to find your life's more productive. Your countenance is more cheerful. It just happens. It actually works.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
How would you like to experience happiness, fulfillment, and live the life God wants for you? Well, I'm glad to say that can become a reality if you'll follow the blueprint laid out for us in Psalm 1. We get an image of a tree that's fruitful, and that can be your experience. Pastor Dave Rolfe will show us how as we continue through the Bible, looking at key Bible stories along the way. Again, we're in Psalm 1.
Remember when Jesus talked about the sower and the seed? The seed that grew up instantly was the seed that was thrown on rocky soil. It didn't have to sprout out and push its way through the dirt. It would just grow up instantly. But what happened to that seed? It sprouted like an avocado seed in a kid's experiment, but it's not going to grow a tree from that. The wind blew it, and it was just gone. And when we live our lives looking for instant gratification, instead of being good with deferred gratification, then we can't sink our roots deeply enough. Ultimately, the satisfying, blessed, happy life comes because you say, I'm willing to do the things that I know are the things that I should be doing. And I'm okay with waiting through the various seasons of my life so that I will eventually see results happen. Our society, everything is geared toward instant gratification. And so we do something when we want to see instant results. You know, kids are that way. They just want to instantly be able to do everything. But many of us have grown up and we're still that way. We're expecting, and really what we do, it's what our whole school system teaches you to do. Our school system doesn't teach you to take the time to really learn, reflect, and consider concepts and eventually know them. Our system teaches us that there's a test coming, and there's a paper that's due, and all you have to do is beat that deadline, and then you're fine. And so what do we do? What most of us do, there are some of you that maybe have great study habits and things like that, but for most of us, it's like, oh, there's a test tomorrow? I haven't even read the chapter. I don't know anything about it. I wasn't paying attention in class. So we cram all night to get ready for a test. And what happens? Maybe you'll do well on the test. But the next day, if they gave you that same test, you'd go, oh, you didn't tell me. That's why teachers do pop quizzes. But even with a pop quiz, it's the idea of, okay, let's get it now. Let's do it now. The truth is most of the lessons that we really need to learn in life are lessons that take time. Lessons we have to be convenient for. Take that student mentality of cramming and try that in the relationships in your life. You know, let your relationship go. It's deteriorating. And now finally it's like, uh-oh, I think it's over. So here's flowers, gifts, cards, presents. Look at me, I'm going to church. Oh, I just read 20 books on marriage. And they're going, yeah, but you're just doing that to manipulate me. You've always tried to control me, and now you're trying to control me having God on your side. And sometimes that cramming just doesn't cut it. It doesn't work. A life that's well-lived takes time and patience. It's just like if you're raising your kids. You can't wait till they get in trouble. And, you know, you're visiting them in jail, and now you start telling them about what they need to do and don't do. It's probably a little late for that at this point. But the patience of working consistently on a daily basis is planting those things that will ultimately result in life. And the person who's living a successful, satisfied life is the person who learns that this is a process and there are seasons. And I'm going to be satisfied doing what I think is the right thing to do, even if I am not seeing immediate results. If you've ever picked up a musical instrument, man, when you first try playing a musical instrument, if you just spend like a half hour on it, you'll come to the conclusion that I'm bad at this. I do not have a musical gene. And some of you think you don't have a musical gene because when you picked up a trumpet, and you're like, nope, I got to find something else to try. Like if you go out for a sport and you get cut from the team, well, that's not my sport. That's not me. I remember at Calvary one time, one of our kids, his parents both worked at the school. One of them was a football coach and the other was our art teacher. And Matt was really a good athlete. He ended up going to the Air Force Academy, and he's like an officer in the Air Force today. But in wrestling, one of the early matches, he had been wrestling for years, but he got pinned. And they were humiliated. His parents were, especially his dad. You know how dads are. But his mom turned to his dad and said, I told you we should have got him piano lessons. That's somebody who's like, okay, does this work? But to learn to be patient, to learn to wait. This is the imagery of someone who continues on the path, who just won't quit. Now, there's a time to quit. There's a time to alter your path. But there's never a time to give up. And there's never a time to decide short term whether or not what you're doing is right or wrong, whether it's working or not. Life just isn't that way. And so you find that on the one hand, the person whose life ends up being fruitful is the person who's patiently waiting for the season for the fruit to come. And the person whose life blows away like a wisp in the wind is the person who, among other things, will not wait, is not patient, is not willing to allow the roots to sink deep, to allow the nutrients to be ingested, to allow ultimately the productivity and the fruit to come forth. Nope, they're just like, nope, I quit. I don't want to do this. Some people quit everything they ever try. I really admire parents who, when their kids start something, they go, you're going to finish this season. You're going to set a goal and you're going to meet it. Because it's really easy. You put your kid in a sport and other kids are laughing at them and you're just, I'm pulling them right out of there. And that raises a whole generation of kids who think they should always get a trophy, that it should always be a tie. Everyone on the team is the MVP. And in every race, we all win. That's not what teaches you to be a fruitful person ultimately. That's frankly a loser mentality. It's like, man, you hang in there and keep doing this. And let's, at the end of the season, we'll decide if you want to try something else, try something different. That's where happiness ends up coming from. The ability to discern what's the right thing to do and then to do it and to be patient. So you look at all this and go, wow, how does this work then? So it's all about taking the right advice. It's all about not just quitting. It's all about not just deteriorating into cynicism. It's about being fruitful and productive and waiting for the seasons. So how do you do this? Well, I think a core concept is right here in verse 2. And it's probably really what this psalm is about. But his, happy Harry, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So it's how you approach God's word that becomes central. Because as we focus on his word, as we enjoy it, as we meditate on it, we start to know what's good advice and what isn't. We become inspired to continue to move down the path. We don't just stop and decide we're going to be a loser, or worse yet, sit down and just make fun of everyone else and criticize what they're trying to do. The productivity that will ultimately come connected so often to how we approach the Word of God. Now notice, it doesn't say that the happy guy reads the Bible a lot. The happy guy keeps going through the Bible. It isn't that simple, okay? All the people who would read this psalm turned into a song that the whole Jewish nation would sing regularly, and it was an important one because they put it first in their hymn book. So they would all like, yeah, this is, we agree with this. It's not, see, Like I said, I've had some of the worst advice ever from Christians. And also, I've known some people who are Christians, and I believe they sincerely are, but they're absolutely miserable. They can't laugh about anything. They can't take a joke. They're just critical of everyone who's different than they are. You can't just read the Bible and automatically turn into a happy person, a fruitful person. It would be nice if it would work that way, but some of the most miserable people I know read the Bible constantly. He doesn't just say they read the law. He says they delight in it and meditate on it, contemplate it, you know, daily and nightly, regularly. They're thinking about it. It's going with them. It's running through their head. Sometimes I think that we read the Bible and we just expect to feel miserable when we read what God says. And we read until we feel so bad that we want to stop. And we go, oh, man, that just beat me up. If joy comes, and remember, as we saw in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have absolutely no power to your walk with God until you've got to the point of joy. It's what Jesus came to give us. That doesn't happen just automatically, but there is a way to approach the Bible. And when the Bible causes us to just delight in it, when we go, I love this, then we're probably reading it right. If we're reading the Bible and it doesn't give us delight, there's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something about the presuppositions we bring to the Bible or the way the Bible is presented to us that goes, yeah, man, every time I read it, I feel horrible. And yet we put this thing on people that you should be reading through the Bible every year. Not necessarily. If you're reading through the Bible is great. You know, what, a year or two ago, we read through the whole Bible in 90 days. It was awesome. I enjoyed it. Some people probably did it and didn't enjoy it. More people tried it, didn't like it, quit. And that's fine too. But it's not about how much of the Bible you read. It's about whether or not you're finding delight in what God's word says. And so a lot of times that means just slow down a little. Just take, like for instance, to meditate means you're pondering it. You're like a cow chewing its cud, taking your time processing it. And usually that doesn't come from a huge portion of scripture. Sometimes it can. But more often than not, it's when you slow down and go, wait a minute, I just want to spend some time here on this. It's why every sermon in the New Testament, whether Jesus taught it, Peter, Paul, or whoever, they didn't see how much of the Bible they could preach on. They just took a concept and developed it. And sometimes we need to do that personally. For instance, if you're looking at Psalm 1 and you might go, yeah, I need this. I want to be the happy person. So I'm just going to live in Psalm 1 this week. Well, that would be a good thing. That wouldn't be bad at all. But what if you just said, blessed, lucky, happy is the man or the person. And what if that's just what you think about? And all week you're wrestling with that. And you're going, I want to look for people who seem like they're blessed and watch them and see how they talk and what they do and what's important to them. I want to interview them. And then I want to start to observe that maybe I can actually find that. I can actually enjoy just taking one phrase from the Bible and making that my phrase for the week. A lot of times we just bite off more than we can chew. This is about, I'm not in a hurry, I'm being patient, let me just take one concept. You could take a scripture like John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now that's a deep verse, but you could take it for the next 15 weeks. And the first week, just emphasize the first word, I am the way. And you're like, what? Jesus is saying, it's me. And then you can go, after that, you can go, I am the way. He's saying, he is, he really is. He's asserting that. Not only that, you put I am together, and it's the personal name that God generally used to describe himself. Think about that for a while. I am the way. That means everything else is not the way, is not going to give me what I'm looking for. He's the way. And then he's the way. What does that mean? It's a path. We're moving forward. It isn't just about where we are now. It's about where we're headed, where we're going. And on through the scriptures, and it's fun to do this, but there are plenty of other ways to delight in God's word. I personally like to just go, I'm going to read this morning until I see something that really convicts me. But I'm not going to feel bad about it. I'm going to say, like, I am so glad to hear that. Because that's apparently one of the reasons why I'm not experiencing everything that God wants me to experience. This might be one thing that's making me sometimes be more of a loser than a winner. And so I'll go, like, I'll be reading in Proverbs, and it'll talk about don't say as much. And I'll go, whew, I did a lot of talking. For somebody who's shy, which I am, you know, I talk a lot. I think, well, I could make the message shorter. That might be better. So you are dismissed. No. But then throughout the week, that's my word. Or throughout the day, I'm going, okay, I could have said something there. I just let it go. And it becomes fun. It becomes a challenge. It becomes entertaining. Nobody else knows. I don't announce to people, hey, today I'm trying to talk less. But instead, I think if somebody notices that I'm doing that, that would be kind of cool. But even if it's just between me and the Lord, I'm going to enjoy this. I know it's going to enrich my life and maybe make a difference for others. I also just like to read the Bible and find things that are funny that nobody else thinks are funny. Because the Bible's full of funny stuff. And so in every story, I want to see, what is it here that would make me laugh? What is it here that would relieve some of the tension and the pressure that comes from society and the way we live with this frenetic pace? You know, where is it that I can just stop? At some point, can I just stop and read the Bible and not have a limit to how long I can just sit there and think about it? How about just taking 15 minutes after I read the Bible and just sit quietly? If I fall asleep, great, that's fine. I'm not going to feel guilty about that. I don't have an agenda other than, oh, I am just delighting in what God just said. And it's a discipline. It's a habit. It's something that's so healthy for us as we develop it. And the more that we delight in his word and meditate on it daily, really think about it, ponder it, the more we start to find that when there's advice, some of it just sounds right. Some of it just sounds wrong. Not sure why, but that's just kind of the way it feels. It's not foolproof. You're always going to get wrong advice. But keep walking. Don't stop there. Don't give up. Continue to move and look for advice that lines up with what God says. Look for advice that has worked well for you in the past. Decide to stay on the path. Don't fall into cynicism. Take his word and have fun with it, and ultimately, you're going to find your life's more productive, your countenance is more cheerful. It just happens. It actually works this way, and that's what this psalm is saying, that we can make choices, and we can neglect other choices, the result of which actually creates our life, brings about fruitfulness, and that's what God wants us to have. No one wants you to be happy more than God does. It's why it's the joy of the Lord. It's contacting and connecting with his joy that ultimately gives you strength. And that's where delighting in him gives us the ability to live a life that's actually productive and successful. And by the way, when you're so concerned about people around you and wanting them to make right decisions, whether it's your spouse, your kids, your friends, whoever it is, nothing will provide a better influence than a happy person, a person who enjoys the Lord, who enjoys his word, and who demonstrates that, yeah, I get knocked down, but I laugh at myself and I just get back up and I keep moving. That's our challenge, to be that more like Harry than Sam, to be the person who finds that, wow, I'm actually seeing fruit come from my life because I've learned to wait, and I've learned to think, and I've learned to spend time having fun with God, not dreading spending time with him. Now, If you're here today, you might have, this is a word to God's people, because this was written to God's people, to say you can be God's person and have your life fritter away, or you can be God's person and have fruit come out of it that lasts. But I want you to know, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never become a Christian, you're not following him, God has a plan for your life too. And he doesn't look at you and say, oh, you do bad things, and that displeases me. What displeases God is that you are squandering the opportunity to have your life be everything that it can be. And that's what your wrong decisions are doing to you. But you can start fresh. You can have everything that you've ever done wrong, every bad decision, every bad advice that you've taken, you can have it forgiven. The only reason why any of us as Christians can continue in life is because every time we mess up, God says, because Jesus paid for that, you're starting fresh right now. What are you going to do today? Are you going to delight in me today? Are you going to continue to walk the path today? Are you going to reject cynicism and get up and do something yourself today? Are you willing to wait today to see fruit born at some point? But for you who have never entered into a relationship with him, that weight that you feel in life is the weight of carrying the results of a series of bad choices that the Bible calls sin. You have become so habitually doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons, hoping that somehow it's going to work out. And if that's you, and you're realizing that, yeah, frankly, right now my life is like it's just going to be blown away at the end, but you'd like that to change, I'd invite you today to give him a chance. And your sins, the ways that you've been missing it, can be absolutely forgiven because Jesus paid for that. And he wants to give you a fresh start. And it is not too late for you to begin to sink your roots, receive the watering, begin to delight, and ultimately cause your life to end up meaning something by the time it's over. And then ultimately, God has a home for you in heaven where we can celebrate forever the fact that, man, what Jesus did for us made it possible for me to get over all of the bad decisions I ever made. And I'm walking clean and forgiven and with joy.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. What do you say we finish things up in prayer now?
Lord, thank you that you've made a way for our lives to be richer, more full. That you want us to feel blessed, lucky, happy. And we're sorry when you've done everything that you can do by wiping our slate clean every time we admit our failure. But then we just stop. Then we just sit. Then we just scorn. We don't want to be that person. So Lord, if we've been sitting lately, if we've been stopped lately, help us to get moving again. To do those things that will bring about the results of joy in the long run. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Help us when we read your word that it'll be fun. That we will expect that we will sense that as it happens, that we will meditate on what you've said until we see the joy in it. For the people who are here today, Lord, who don't know you yet, help them to know they can start moving right now by allowing you to forgive their sins. Give them the courage to come down after the service and get right with you. It's where they need to start. Help them to know their life's not over yet. It's not too late to find joy. Please do that, Lord, for them by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Does life ever feel like an emotional roller coaster for you? Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll hear about a time in King David's life when he was devastated and crushed. It was a dark time in his life that we can learn from. We hope you can join us when Dave Rolfe turns to Psalm 22. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.